Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking about a topic that relates very directly to physical health, and it actually relates to our mental health. It is a social health theme, however. It's dealing with healthy marriages. I know that may not sound like the typical health program that we feature on American Indian Living, but we're taking a special focus on some of these social health topics, and we've got a great guest to walk us through this topic. His name is Jim Hamilton. Jim, it's great to have you with us on today's show.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
Jim, some people may know about you. You've got a book out that's generating a lot of dialogue. That's how I heard about you. Tell us what's put you kind of in the mainstream on the topic of social health.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the book is called It's All About Her, with a subtitle of A Man-to-Man's Guide to Marital Bliss. And it's a story that a book that I put together based on my observation that a lot of us guys, and it's me included from time to time, over time tend to get a little bit relationship lazy. And it's not that we're bad guys or anything. It's just that sometimes we start to lose focus on what brought us together with our lovely partner. And that's what I wrote the book, to try to get us to get a little bit better at caring, communicating, and connecting with one another.
And I've noticed that you obviously have some credibility on the subject, because it seems that there are a number of your male friends' wives that maybe nudged your wife or somehow indirectly nudged you to write a book of this nature. Did I pick up on that?
You did. In addition to my observation and my wanting to share my phenomenal relationship with my wife, a number of my wife's friends, and sometimes people hear this, you know, oh, you know so much about this, or you're good at this, you ought to write a book. Well, a number of them said that, and I just said, you know, I think I will. And hence, it's all about her.
Well, just a couple of comments, because we have, as you know, Jim, a very broad demographic that tunes into the show. We have many listeners who tune in across Indian country on Native Voice One and Native American Network. We have other networks that carry the show. Some of those are Christian networks. So people bring different perspectives as they listen to the subject of relationships. And our goal in this show is not to tell people that this is the way you've got to do it. If you have cultural or tribal traditions that seem a little bit different than what Jim is sharing, but really just to see through someone's eyes and to say, look, these are things that you've seen work, that you've shared with other guys that have made a difference in their relationships, and see if it can make a difference as far as social health across Indian country and beyond, right?
Exactly. In fact, I have spoken on a number of radio shows as well as at book signings, and I'm very clear to let people know, you may disagree with everything that I talk about in the book. However, if you and your partner read it and you discuss the topics I bring up, then my bigger goal is realized, which is, again, caring, communicating, and connecting. And that's really what this is all about.
One of the things that I found interesting, Jim, in reading your book is at the very beginning, first few chapters, it seemed like you were ready to be tarred and feathered by a lot of guys who started on the journey of reading the book. Tell me why you had this level of sensitivity as you brought these subjects out.
Well, I'll tell you a humorous one first, and then what came about. But initially, as I started to finish the book and share it with some people, and I would share it with couples, I'd get three reactions. One was the guy staring at me, looking at, thanks a lot, buddy. Really appreciate the extra work. The second one was the wife giving an elbow to the husband, saying, see? But then the third one is what I mentioned earlier, that the two of them were actually discussing it, and that's what I really wanted to have happen. But my sense is, again, as I mentioned earlier, that I think over time, we tend to think that it is just assumed that we still have the passion and still have the caring for our spouse. And I think what my observation is that we need to be reminded about the fact that she needs to be reminded. She needs to have a few of those nice things done once in a while as a reminder that you're still in the game and you're still engaged.
I'll tell you one thing that I think probably rubs people the wrong way, a lot of guys, at least initially, and I know you were sensitive to this, is your opening illustration. And maybe you could actually walk us through it, because I thought it was a great illustration, and especially how it ended.
The opening illustration...
Where the wife is calling out to the husband who's just finally getting a chance to relax in front of the television.
Oh, in the book.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, what that relates to is it's just a very short vignette about a guy that's watching television, and he hears the two words that are oftentimes very scary to men, or the one word, honey. And the expectation that following that is going to be a series of requests that are going to interrupt you from your relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And in actuality, it turns out that that's not what's taking place, that she's actually going to the store and trying to find out what you need. But in our minds, oftentimes, we start to think, what is she going to ask for me to do? How is this going to impact me? And it was an exaggeration to make a point, is that, you know, when you are connected, that honey word does not create the fear that it might if you aren't connected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in that context, you mentioned this concept that really is alluded to in your title, It's All About Her, and you bring up a point that your wife is always right. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. And I've had a number of people ask me, just saying, wait a second. You know, one, she isn't always right. And two, women don't want a guy that just automatically caves all the time on everything and is just a little puppy dog. They want, they're looking for security and strength in their relationship. And all of that is true. What I'm trying to get across in a form of trying to get men's attention is that when she's asking for something, to be attentive and have your opening mindset be one of openness and acceptance.
Mm.
And oftentimes what I've observed in terms of relationships is that the friction and the challenge between a husband and wife getting along oftentimes has to do with this discussion and this disagreement over such minor things. Whereas if on the minor issues, we as men take the high ground and just say, you're right, we still have to be engaged together and jointly decide on major life decisions, particularly involving the kids or finances or employment, things like that. We need to be together and think through those together. But I'm talking about the relatively insignificant things that often cause arguments and friction that are just so unimportant. In that respect, my advice is she is always right. Make it all about her and just back off and let it flow.
One of the interesting things you do, Jim, in the book is you say, from your vantage point, there's basically four categories of men as it relates to relationships. Can you help us see through your eyes on that topic?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, the perspective I chose to use was referencing Maslow's four stages of operational learning. And for those of you not trained in psychology, this deals with the concept of unconscious incompetence, somebody that doesn't know that they aren't good at something, to learning to a conscious incompetency, which means that you're aware that you aren't good at something, moving to the area of conscious competency, which means you're good at it and you know it, And then ultimately the unconscious competent, which is the person that is just a natural. Mm-hmm. And I relate it to those different stages of men's learning about relationships and romance with their wife. And going back to the unconscious incompetence, this is what I also call the clueless. And his idea, an example of this, his idea of an intimate gift might be a set of tires. It kind of gives you a feel for that category. The second one, conscious incompetent, is the wannabe. And this is somebody that understands the need to sometimes provide gifts to his wife, but he may consider sporting equipment like Nike, Adidas, and Reebok to be haute couture or high fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The conscious competent is what I call the stud. And this is somebody that gets it, understands it completely, but may have become predictable in the way that he shows and expresses his feelings for his wife and his romance. And lastly, what I call the Romeo, which is the unconscious competent, this is the person that makes us all look bad. This is the one that always says all the right things, does all the right things to really make his wife feel that they're still even in the dating stage of their relationship. And I share all of those categories to see maybe and identify with the guys and the women out there, where are you? And we're all somewhere in between some of those stages, but the idea is let's identify it and maybe let's address some of those.
So by your comments, are you saying that women are in different stages too?
I would say they are, and the way I kind of viewed the took the approach of categorizing women is I put them all into one. And what I did was I identified that, in my view, there are five women that all of us married when we said, I do. And those five are the lover, the partner, the caregiver, because, you know, guys, let's remember, we're all still little kids in our heart. Fourth is a confidant. And this is important because in addition to being a lover, partner, and a caregiver, the confidant, this is the person that you share some of your most intimate feelings and secrets with that really no man can provide that audience for. But lastly and not least is the most amazing woman in the world, and weren't you lucky to get her? And what I mean by that is that in addition to everything else that lady does for us, she also has to manage our fragile egos. Mm-hmm. And they all do such a remarkable job of it. And when you consider all of these women that you married, when you say, I do, that was really the genesis of the title, It's All About Her, and why it should be.
And I know you're very sensitive to the whole dialogue, whether it's a big issue in Indian country or in segments of Indian country or not, but someone saying, well, this is, you know, very stereotyped. You're talking about a relationship between a man and a woman. How did you deal with that in the book?
Well, yeah, it is maybe stereotypical. My intent is, in the beginning of the book, is to get people to identify with it. And if I have an interesting view of life is that I take my relationship with my wife and my family incredibly seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take myself too seriously. So I use the vehicle of humor to get people to relate to it and then take from that a number of items that deal both philosophically and practically with a few things that you can do to make your relationship more loving, more fun, and more romantic.
I'm talking with Jim Hamilton. He's the author of the book, It's All About Her, and you're tuning in to American Indian Living. We're going to be sharing some things that can help, especially the guys, be more in touch with some of the needs of the person that they spend their lives with. If you're a married man, this is very relevant to you. And from the standpoint of medical subjects, clearly social health has a huge bearing on our physical health. This is not just a tangential issue. You want to stay tuned because Jim's got a lot more material, a lot of practical things, great stories that will draw you in and help you have a healthier home. Stay tuned for more. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it's a government full of people and full of people. Full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose with my guest, Jim Hamilton. Jim is the author of It's All About Her. He's trying to help us tap into a greater level of wisdom, practical wisdom, when it comes to relating to our spouses. It's especially designed for guys who are tuning in. But you ladies who are listening, take notes and take note of how to get more of Jim's resources. Jim, while we're speaking about that, I know that you've got a book. We've been talking about that. But you've also got other free resources. Tell us how we can take advantage of those materials.
Oh, sure. Thanks. You can follow my writings that are based on It's All About Her, not just duplications of it, but my weekly and biweekly blog on itsallabouther.net, as well as itsallabouther.org in Facebook, as well as certainly the book is available on Amazon.
So website-wise, itsallabouther.net.
That's correct. That's the key one.
And so if I go on there, I don't have to buy the book. I can get a lot of pearls of wisdom from you that I can put into practice right away.
Not only that, but you also get to get a beautiful shot of my gorgeous wife.
Okay. Well, I don't know what's going to be the bigger draw. I mean, for me, it's the material because I'm happily married too. Okay, Jim. Actually, since you mentioned that, you do talk in your book about how you relate visually even to your wife in public. Help us with that one a little bit.
One of the chapters in the book is How to Be Arm Candy in 10 Easy Lessons. And again, with a little bit of humor involved, but also some messages on how we as men can not only present ourselves in the best light, but also how we can present ourselves so that it is a positive reflection on her. Hmm. Because oftentimes, again, depending on where we are in our relationship, we may tend to lose sight of the fact that women oftentimes look to the men that other women are with to say, okay, what's that woman all about? And it's not that you're a commodity or a thing, but I am a big proponent of how you present yourself, how you show yourself around her can be an unbelievably positive reflection on her, but also it comes back to you in terms of the closeness. And this can be anywhere from the simple act of opening a door or how you ensure that she is engaged in conversation when it's a mixed group,
mm-hmm.
and just make sure that you're treating her with respect in a public setting. That's some of the key areas that I focus on.
One of the other things that you mentioned, and it brings us back to a topic I mentioned earlier, and that is, yes, there's going to be differences in different tribal settings. I mean, there's tribes, for example, that historically are matriarchal. Some of my friends come from those tribal traditions, especially in the Northeast. Others, more of a male dominant, we would say, tribal hierarchy. Whatever a person is bringing into this dialogue today, we still, every one of us guys, if we're married, we have that significant other in our lives, and how well we do in that relationship is going to have a direct bearing not only on our health, but as you're pointing out, on her health as well. Isn't that true?
Definitely, because in that relationship, and in my view, the strength of that relationship is so important to your fundamental grounding and your the removal of stress in your life. If that's not stable, as I found is that, then you aren't. And your ability to establish the continuation of that bond that you had early on, to me, is critical in how satisfied you are, how confident you are, and very important in reducing the amount of stress in your life, because we all know there's so many external factors in our lives that introduce stress, and stress is just, it's something that you know better than I, David, how important that is to reduce that to be healthy.
No question. And the other thing that's worth mentioning before we get to some more of these practical examples is, I do what you do, Jim, and when I'm talking, speaking to audiences, I'll often use a little bit of humor. I'll tell the guys in an audience, I'll say, I know you like to think that you did your wives a great favor when you married them, but the research is very compelling. If you look at the marital benefits from a physical health standpoint, they're much more slanted in favor of the guy than they are for the woman. With that in mind, Jim, we got to keep talking about this. Tell us about this old subject. It always comes up when we're speaking about how to care for women in our lives. The subject of flowers. You talk about that in your book. Make it practical for us.
I do, and it's one of my favorite topics. Again, in a humorous way, I introduce the topic in my book by the title, A Flower a Day Keeps the Lawyers Away. And it's not that flowers are the key to avoiding divorce. However, I believe, and being also a gardener who creates flowers, it's so important and such an easy, wonderful way of expressing your love. But also, it brings back into the relationship, the act of doing it means that you are thinking about her.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about, as soon as everybody hears this, they're kind of going, okay, so this is going to start crimping my wallet and, you know, I can't afford that. By no means am I talking about you have to get a dozen long-stem roses every week, and that's the way she's going to stay happy. You can be as simple as stopping by the grocery store, getting a $5 bouquet of daisies or a $3 bouquet of daisies and surprising her at the door, getting a single rose and surprising her with it. And we know that there's certain times, such as birthdays or Valentine's Day and other times, that it's kind of expected. But for me, the important one is when she's expecting at least.
Hmm.
And as I talked earlier, is when it starts to become predictable, maybe it doesn't have the value. But just the thought of doing it says, yes, you know that she likes them. But more importantly, you took a few minutes out of your day, and it might not have been convenient, but you went up a couple of flowers for, presented to her, and says, here, very simply, I love you. Huge, huge benefit.
Well, Jim, you actually brought several things to the equation here, and one of them is the fact that you're a gardener. I guess something running through my mind, and maybe through some of the minds of my listeners, is does it really matter how much you spent or if you spent anything? I mean, if you grow your own roses, I mean, is that as good as stopping by the store? Or would some wives say, boy, that's sure a cheap bouquet you got me. Is there a danger of that?
Boy, I'd love to hear the examples of where there's a danger to a negative reaction to flowers. I, you know, I appreciate the question, but I would also say that my roses are going to start blooming. And when I go out there early in the morning and I cut a bouquet of flowers and I put them in a vase for my wife, and she gets up and she sees them, it is as though I went to the florist. Again, it's the time, the appreciation, and the thought that went into just the act of cutting them and putting them in the vase. That is sending the message that she is on your mind. And to me, a lot of women, that's what they're looking for.
I think one of the things that really comes through in a number of sections of your book is this very concept and a related concept. The two of them, as I see it, and you can help me and tell me if I'm reading things correctly. One is it's just being more mindful about that relationship, and not just being mindful, but doing things that demonstrate that this is a priority. And then the flip side of that is it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. Am I reading correctly one of your big themes?
You are, and I would like to just kind of elaborate on the first one. I had a good friend of mine, Sharon, that shared with me after reading the book, she goes, well, you hit it, because I talk about buying presents and flowers and that kind of thing. She goes, you know, you also touched on this issue of time and this issue of attention. And she shared with me a phrase that I thought was phenomenal. It was, a man's presence in the marriage is the most important present he can ever give. And that's one of the related themes here, is that to be there, to listen, to interact, and to be present and caring and take the time in the relationship, that is the ultimate present that you can deliver to your lovely.
Why is it so easy for men to lose that perspective?
My observation is that, and again, it isn't suggesting that we don't care for our wives after we've been together for a while. It's just that I think we may be, again, a stereotype, a generalization, but bear with me. I think we tend to look at things a little bit differently and a little bit more serially. So, yes, we dated, we courted, we proposed, we got married, we're supplying for the family, supporting the kids' activities, we're doing all of that. She has to know. She just has to know that I care, because that's why I'm doing all of this. This is why we're both working so hard to support the family. Yes, but also just that little extra stuff that's the same things you did maybe when you were dating or when you were early in your relationship. Those are the things that harken back to the passion. And that's what I think we tend to lose. Again, I think we still care and all of that. But without that demonstration, she may not view it as the same way.
Great messages, Jim. We've got to slip away once again. You're listening to Jim Hamilton. He's the author of the book, It's All About Her. I'm Dr. David DeRose, your host on American Indian Living. We will be right back. More from Jim Hamilton, things that can enhance your marriage and your family. Stay tuned for more.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was. and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Dr. DeRose here for the second half of today's edition of American Indian Living. With me, as was true of the first half of our program, is Jim Hamilton. Jim is joining me by way of modern technology over the phone lines. And we are speaking about a subject that, whether coming into the show or not, you thought it was important for your whole person health. I know in Indian country, those of you that are close to your traditional roots, you realize that everything is viewed holistically. You can't talk about physical health apart from the health of the family or the tribe. But many in today's Western mindset lose track of how important the home is. Jim is trying to help us reconnect with that, and especially those of you men tuning in, help us to realize what we can do to enhance those relationships with our wives. Jim, we're speaking about practical strategies, things that we can do. You use a term in your book that some men may be a little uncomfortable with. It's this term of pampering. Important or not when it comes to relationships?
I think it's critical, but I also think that sometimes the perception of the word pampering might be a little bit off. I think of it, pampering, as the concept of doing something nice, as I do focus on that, and I think that's very, very important.
So you've told us we can give flowers to our wives at any time, and they're going to accept them. But what else can we do that show our attention to our wives in practical ways that aren't going to break the bank?
And that's really key, what doesn't break the bank. And just let me give you a couple of examples. One of them is, I mentioned earlier, we are all sometimes overwhelmed with the number of things that are going on in our lives and with our families. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is the importance of the date. And this is the date with your wife. And it can be the two of you going out for an evening, going to a restaurant, going anywhere, just so that the two of you get away and you're connecting. And again, this it may seem like, well, that's just a simple thing, but if you think about all of the things in an awful lot of relationships that that removes from your wife having to deal with, like preparing a dinner, more importantly, cleaning up after the dinner, all of those kinds of things, the simple act of having a date night. I know it's old-fashioned, but I think that's one of the simplest ways. Another area of pampering that I think is very important is every once in a while, maybe changing roles. And the ability to come in, particularly if kids are in the equation, to be able to come into the house and just say, honey, for the next 2 hours, you're on your own. I've got it from here. And maybe she's going to go take a nap. Maybe she's going to go for a walk. Maybe she's going to go next door and talk to one of her friends. It just switching it up right there is, again, it may seem simple and you may not have thought of that as pampering, but from the receiving end, it is greatly appreciated.
Now, one of the things that you talk about in your book does relate to this aspect of dates. I know sometimes a man will choose a dating venue or a dating event that maybe appeals more to him than his wife, and you deal with the subject of sporting events. Do those things interface on some level?
Yes, and I think oftentimes sports bring out a very interesting aspect in relationships in our society, from my observation, is that on the one hand, if the two of you, and I think this is becoming more prevalent, the two of you share in a passion, or if you're both fans, core word fanatic, about a certain sport or activity, the instead of choosing the guy to go with you, take her. Again, elevating her view of how you view her. But also I think that one of the key areas that I talk about around sports, and so many of our kids are involved with organized sports, is back to what we talked about earlier. How do you conduct yourself in that forum? And I share in there the importance for us to remember when we're in that space, it is about the kids. It is about their health, their fun. And when it comes to winning, when it comes to our view of whether the umpire was correct, it's time to step back and realize that it's about a family activity and it's about the kids having fun, and that we just need to lighten up on that. Again, reflection on your relationship with her, because you're taking the high road, and believe me, if you've ever seen some of the people at those events, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, how about this scenario? Because occasionally you'll get the guy who's very focused on a single sport or multiple sports, and the wife could care less. It actually can become a source of conflict in the relationship. How does someone navigate those waters?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. And what I've talked to a number of guys about that, more importantly, a number of women. And I don't think, I think oftentimes we as men are afraid to broach the issue, but I really think it's a matter of balance, and it's a matter of communicating to one another. And if you have that time that you just have to see that game or you have to go to that car show or whatever it is, as long as there's a balance and that she's afforded the ability to pursue her own interests in balance with what you're doing, the fact that you aren't together doing it is still okay. Because again, as long as you are still showing that fanaticism and that passion for her as in an equal measure to what you're going after in terms of your sporting pursuits, generally I think people can work through that.
One of the subjects that you deal with in your book as well, and for those of you just joining us, I'm talking to Jim Hamilton. His book, It's All About Her, the subtitle is A Man to Man's Guide to Marital Bliss. Jim, one of the subjects does deal with a very touchy subject in some homes. It has to do with employment. I know we've gone through a number of cycles of where it's been tough for many people, whether it's in Indian country or people who don't have Native American roots who are tuning in. A lot of people in tough situations, their job has been outsourced. They're out of work. Maybe the woman is now the breadwinner. There's a lot of career issues that come into the home. What kind of wisdom do you have to help us deal with some of those challenges?
Yeah, that is a challenging area, and it knows no there's no group either social or economic or ethnic group that is saved from this. It's across the board, and I think that what one of the key areas that I speak about and I feel very strongly about is that, again, it's an opportunity when this occurs, it's an opportunity for us to step back and forget the emotional piece of, yeah, that hurts, or that may hurt financially, but step back after that emotion has waned a little and start looking at things in a pragmatic way and start making decisions about what is best for the team, the team of you. And often, what that really requires is something that maybe we haven't done before, which is the two of you sit down and discuss it and look to your wife to be a great judge of what are your skills, what are your passions, and let that help guide you in your decision process. Because again, when you're together, it's a partnership and it's the team that has to do it. And if I could, one other comment that I think is very important to that.
Please.
We may have traditional thoughts about I as the man and the breadwinner, and we may feel guilty or feel embarrassed if, for whatever reason, our wife's employment may either temporarily or permanently take precedence over ours. Again, we need to, as best we can, elevate ourselves and look at ourselves as what's best for the team. And sometimes assuming non-traditional roles is the answer to that, temporarily or permanently. But again, it's a team decision and something that I think both people have to agree upon and discuss.
You've got a lot of practical illustrations in your book, and I know one of them has to do with entertaining, parties, if you will. I know sometimes that brings out a whole other set of discussions, and you're very sensitive to this because you, like many of my listeners, whether they're Native American or not, have some real ambivalence about party settings and the alcoholic beverages that often flow in some of those places. Help us out about the whole entertaining issue and how the alcohol subject fits in with that.
Yeah, well, first, the general entertainment. In the book, I talk about the hostess with the mostess, you know, and how you can support your wife in putting together a good gathering. And we aren't going to go into all of the details there, but I do provide some steps. What's very, again, important, and you're probably getting bored of me talking about the concept of partnership or teaming, but it really does require a good party and a successful party just doesn't happen. It requires planning. And to the extent that you can work with your wife to sort through that and each of you divide and conquer the responsibilities of it is really key to the success. Relative to the imbibing, I've got a special place in my heart for this subject because I don't drink, yet I have parties in which people do. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's important, particularly now, that we kind of monitor that, and we shouldn't feel that we have an obligation to that being the objective of the party. It's really the objective of the party is for people to enjoy themselves and socialize. And whether we're the ones that are challenged by that or we have friends that are challenged by that, I think we need to watch carefully that we don't become the object or the entertainment unintentionally because we've had too much. And I think as the host of the party, you really have that responsibility to pull somebody aside when they've gotten a little out of control and help them to calm down and, should they need it, you know, find them a way home.
Right. Now, I've been to a number of gatherings where people say this is a social occasion, whether they call it a party or not, and they're not serving alcoholic beverages. How does that fit in with today's culture? Is that acceptable, or do you think you're treading on thin ice?
I think it's acceptable. I think one thing that is important to, as you, even though one of the things I do talk about is understanding the group that you've invited.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's old-fashioned, but it's a reasonable expectation to expect to get RSVPs as to whether somebody's coming. But at that time, if you have, as you're inviting people, let them know ahead of time. I think it's very acceptable, and people are very open to it as long as they know ahead of time. Sometimes people get upset if they arrive and just say, oh, well, we don't have any wine or beer or anything like that. If they know ahead of time, I don't think it's a big issue. And oh, by the way, if it is a big issue for them, they probably, if they know ahead of time, they won't come. And that's okay.
Okay. I mean, great points. We got to slip away again, Jim, but we've got, I know, still some great material that we want to cover before we finish up today's program. We've got a final segment coming up with Jim Hamilton, the author of It's All About Her. I'm not going away. I'm your host, Dr. David DeRose. You stay tuned as well, and you'll get some final insights from Jim before we close out today's show. Stay tuned for more.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Weimar is home to the Residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Weimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Weimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose and with Jim Hamilton for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. Jim, the author of It's All About Her. And Jim, we've been talking about a lot of great material, things that can help every man have a better relationship with his wife. You got a chapter, though, that I think would catch anybody's interest. Toward the end of your book, you call it My Greatest Hits. Tell us what we find there.
What I've done in My Greatest Hits is I've shared a number of things that I checked with my wife and said, what are the 10 greatest things that I've done for you that are reflective of how I care? And she was able to come up with 10.
Wow.
It's a mixture of some rather extravagant things, but also I maybe share with you a couple of the straightforward ones. And I would say one, the classic one, was one Christmas we were tight on money. And we agreed that we wouldn't get each other anything for Christmas, which I know a lot of couples do, and they want to, you know, do it for the kids and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was I wrote her a love note and packaged it in a big box, and there was the envelope. And I would tell you, I won't tell you the content of it, but it was received with tears after it read.
Hmm.
I would also say the delivery of a card. We talked about flowers, but just the basic delivery of a card, you may think, well, how can that be a greatest hit? It's a greatest hit when it's from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak about this is, and if you're wondering, I'm not a writer, I'm not a poet, how can I do that? Here's a hint. Develop a card, start with the words, I love you because, and finish the sentence. I guarantee you we're talking about a great hit for your her. I would say one last one is what I refer to as the stroll. Find a place that is romantic for the two of you, and it's different for all of us. It could be out in a country field, a country setting. The example I use here is going across the Golden Gate Bridge. Halfway across the bridge, I gave her a very small locket with our picture in it. Those are the kinds of things that, again, just bring up the emotion and send the message that you care.
That's great. I mean, these are simple things, but it just takes some awareness and then execution, doesn't it?
That's it.
You know, there's another problem, and I'll just be honest with you. We've had this discussion in my home, and I want to tell you, I've learned the lesson, but I still have this wiring, and I think most guys do. When our wives are in distress, we want to fix all their problems. You deal with that in your book. Help us out with that one.
Yeah, I do talk about that because I'm guilty of that sometimes, and I used to be really guilty of that. It's just, okay, she's got a problem. It's a business issue. Boom. Let's solve it. Done, right? Actually, oftentimes, she may not be sharing that with you to get an answer or to get a fix. It's to have a listen.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to listen, and this is one of the hardest things you may have to do, is to have the patience and listen to her walk through it. She may solve her problem by herself, and she doesn't want you to fix her. She just wants you to have the patience and listen to her and have the caring that is involved with that process. In that situation, the process can be considered the gift.
I mean, that is such a great point, and I've seen that so true in my own case, but it does seem so easy for us guys to move into that cognitive mode, that fix-it mode, instead of the relational mode, isn't it?
It is, and as soon as it starts, you just got to hold back, and maybe, as I mentioned before, or mentioned in the book, you've been blessed with two ears and one mouth. Used in that proportion, they'll both serve you well. So sometimes it's time just to be quiet and listen.
Now, you have a chapter here. It may not be completely suitable to radio audiences, but you've got a chapter called Manliness Does Not Equal Cavemanliness. Can you give us just the basic gist of that chapter?
Yeah, the gist of that chapter is that we as men have certain habits and certain things that we may do that are fine and accepted in a private setting, either just by ourselves or with other guys, that may not be appropriate in the presence of our wife and certainly other people. And I speak about those in a humorous way, but it really kind of goes back to that previous thought about being arm candy and representing yourself and treating her and her environment with respect. So I think I probably, in a very nice way, explained the chapter, but it's also one that's kind of humorous, and I think all of us lads can relate to.
One of the most powerful things that any of us can do in a family is modeling behavior. And if I'm understanding correctly, Jim, you're a father, is that correct?
I am a father and a grandfather.
Have you seen an impact on your family from implementing these principles over the years?
I have. And I would say that on two fronts. One is the ability to show emotion. Depending on what generation you are, I know my generation, I didn't grow up with seeing parents showing emotion to one another. And I told myself, I'm going to change that. And I have seen that follow through with my kids, who are very in touch, both the girls and the boys, more in touch with their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so important to show them. And also just for the guys out there, just so that they recognize that, yes, there is a respect to be imparted to women. And show them that, and they look to you, whether they let you know it or not, they're looking to you for an example, and it's a great one to show.
Well, you really talk about this in this chapter, the strength of your weakest moments. And I know from a lot of cultural perspectives, from a lot of generational perspectives, like you've alluded to, men have looked at displaying any kind of emotion as a sign of weakness. How can this be something, and I know you've already touched on this a little bit, but seems like it may bear a little bit of amplification, how this can actually be something that strengthens a relationship.
Yeah, I think it's showing that is on two fronts. One is being able to express and share moments of happiness as well as moments of grief and sadness are the kinds of things that can bring you and your partner, your wife, together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also, again, talking about the kids, the role model that provides is huge. Lastly, we talked earlier about the importance of reducing stress in your life. Trying to keep that in because of some thought that is what people expect, in my view, is really the wrong way to go. Mm-hmm. Is sharing that when I talked about the confidant that you married, sharing that with her is a way of reducing the stress, sharing that with one another, creating a tighter bond, and making for both a physically and mentally healthier life.
Excellent. Well, I think a lot of people who've tuned in today, Jim, have said, boy, there's some real good material here. Some of the guys may really be relating. Others may say, I can't wait for this show to be done. But you've got a closing chapter. You can do it. Can you give us some final encouragement? If some of this sounded too lofty, what good news do you have for the guys?
Just try a couple of things. And after, you know, the shock is over, you'll find the reaction that you get from her is phenomenal. And I'm not saying do everything that I talk about, but try a couple of things. Try it out and see what the reaction is. And I think you'll find treating her with a little bit of it's all about her attitude will reap terrific benefits.
Tremendous. Jim, if people want more information from you, where would they go?
My website has it all, as blogs as well as how you can get the book. It's allabouther.net, all one word.
And Jim, as we wind up, any parting words that can encourage our listeners?
I guess all I can say is, folks, life is a short proposition. Take advantage of it, and don't just settle for having a good relationship. Go after it and have a phenomenal marriage, and I think you'll find that your life is far more pleasurable.
Tremendous message. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. That was Jim Hamilton, author of the book It's All About Her, subtitle, A Man to Man's Guide to Marital Bliss. I'm Dr. David DeRose. I've been glad that you've joined us for today's edition of American Indian Living. Hopefully it really has helped contribute to your social health, making your family a better place to be, making a difference in your tribe and in your community. For all of us at American Indian Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.